person.
The House Revenue Committee for Friday, April 13th, 2007 will come to order. We have a number of bills on our agenda for today that we're going to try to work. I should inform the committee and the members of the audience that we are not going to work House Bill 2692 nor House Bill 2369 today. So if there's anyone here on those bills, you're excused. We will begin with a work session on House Bill 3114. Mazin.
Yes. Mr. Chair, House Bill 3114, we have heard back in March 20th. And, oh, wow, today is Friday the 13th, by the way.
It is. It is.
And you know what's interesting about this Friday the 13th? It's 13th. And it's 13 weeks away from the second Friday of the 13th of the year on June 13th, which will be the Friday of the 13th.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Representative Gelser.
I would like to register a concern that he knows that.
Yes.
Well, Chair, perhaps most likely he is a trichodecophile, and he notes these things. Mr. Mazin, if you would, please limit yourselves to the matters of the bill.
Okay, House Bill 3114, Mr. Chair, we've heard back in March 20th, and to refresh your memory, this is the bill that adds the tax for the machines, the video machines, basically the lottery machines. This is the amusement device tax. This increases the tax from $10 to $20. These amounts go to the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps. And you've heard, and if you recall the video that you've saw from the youth corp at that time, and we've talked about how the different distributions that they get from these amounts. Now, the what's in front of you is still the same bill with a dash 2 amendment. If you remember at that time, Senator Westland came and proposed an amendment for the bill that adds a certain amount, he wasn't sure at that time, of $3, what if the amendment turns out to be $3 in addition to the 10 that are proposed with the bill, and those $3 will go to a scholarship fund, and he names the bill names a scholarship fund as the Dennis Maloney fund scholarship, and this is primarily designed to fund some of the youth coming out of these experiences in the youth corp in Oregon universities and community colleges. And not beyond that, nothing changed from the bill as you heard it last time.
Very good. Representative Esquivel, did you want to be heard?
Yes, please, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sal Esquivel, Representative District 6, Medford, also a member of the Advisory Board for the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps. We had presented on March 20th a bill that was, I thought, pretty simplistic, and let me reiterate a little bit on this bill. The reason we did this was because of the change in the minimum wage. At the time that we first worked on this thing, it was $4 and something, and now it's up to $7 and something. And we have not, what we're doing is we're losing the amount of children, young people, that are eligible to work on these summer projects and year-round projects. So that's why we're back, and this is our only source of revenue for these particular items. So therefore, that's why we're back to talk about the amusement tax on the machines. You have an amendment in front of you that is a dash two that was brought up by Senator Westland, and the amendment didn't come from the OYCC. We really don't have a position on the amendment, but I do have a couple of things that I would like to reiterate with this committee. Is one is that we don't want to split the revenue stream of what we've proposed. The other thing that I have a concern with is if we pile too much onto this particular bill, it'll get locked up. So those are the two cautions I have. It's up to the committee whether they want to adopt the dash two amendments, but I strongly urge the passage of 3114 out of the committee and on forward. Any questions, sir?
Are there questions for Representative Escobar? Yes, Representative Berger.
Yeah, Representative, it would then be possible if we were to pass it without the amendments, it would go to the Senate, and these amendments could be added at the Senate side. Is that true?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
That is the case, one assumes. Any other questions? Thank you, Representative.
Mr. Chair, I would like to ask one question.
Please.
Since Madison knows that it's 13 weeks before Friday the 13th, where's his draft? He is an economist type person.
I left this to the imagination of the committee and the audience.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I note that General Caldwell is here. General, did you want to be heard on this bill? If you want. This affects some of the graduates of the institution that the military department runs, so I assume that that was why you wanted to be heard.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director of the Military Department. Indeed, I'd come in to look at 2692, but since it got moved off, and because we have an interest in that as well with the Office of Emergency Management, but we'll do that another day. But in conversations with Senator Westland, and I certainly don't want to testify for him, but I think if he asked me about this idea, I said it's a great idea. I think it's a wonderful idea if we can come up with some sort of an opportunity for these young kids. Currently, we have, for those of you who don't know about the Oregon National Guard Youth Challenge Program, we have 120 kids graduate two courses a year. It's located in Bend. It's 22 weeks. It's a high school. It's a military-operated high school by the National Guard. Our kids are all dropouts, or we can't take them in. So it's a high-risk population. We take in 150 kids. We graduate 110 to 120. And typically these kids go back to their high school and complete, or they go on to community college or some other job training. When Senator Westland asked me about this idea, I said it's a wonderful deal because we have a 501c3 that struggles to get funded for anything. We typically offer around $1,500 to $2,000 of scholarships per class, which doesn't go very far. And those are usually donated by other people. We don't have state or federal money, which our programs operated under, provide those funds. So those are all outside funds. So there's very little scholarship money going toward this population of kids. And again, it's 220 kids a year. Certainly answer any questions you might have, but as I said, when Senator Westland approached me about this idea, I said, I think it's marvelous. I think it's a great opportunity for young kids. And also for the Youth Conservation Corps, which also does a great job. And it looks to me, and I was just looking at the amendments in the back, and certainly don't want to profess any great knowledge or legal skills other than what I may have picked up in this building, which I would say is probably not much. It appears to me that it's $3 per device into a fund operated by the former Scholarship Commission. I forget what it's called now. And that kids from both programs could apply for those monies based on what was in there. Seems pretty straightforward to me, pretty simple. And it would be a little pot of money that might be helpful for young men and women who have clearly had trouble in their lives in the traditional education community and have found an alternative to get that high school diploma and continue on through education. Anything we can do, I think, as a state, I think it's great public policy that we would offer them that opportunity to improve themselves in post-secondary high school education. And if this is the right vehicle and this is a good vehicle, then I'd certainly encourage the legislature to take that on because I think that's good for all of us. I'll answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions for General Caldwell? I have a couple, perhaps.
Yes, sir.
What percentage of the students who matriculate at your program go back to another school to finish, of the ones who end up graduating, and how many of them actually graduate from the National Guard Youth Challenge Program?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to give you about. So
yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. As I said, we offer 150 students twice a year to come to our program. The first 2 weeks of the program is essentially a boot camp, and that is they kind of get your mind right, make sure you want to be there. At the end of 2 weeks, we typically have about 130, 135. It's voluntary. It's very physically demanding those first 2 weeks. Then we start high school, and we run a high school for the next 20 weeks. And it's certified through the Ben Lapine. All of our instructors and teachers are hired through the Ben Lapine. At the end of that phase, they can earn up to 8.5 credits if they do everything in that program. If they do that, that may put them somewhere close to graduation. Some of them graduate. The majority of our kids, and I would say the high majority of them, 60 to 70% of them, go back to the high school that they came from or a similar one in their community, and they graduate with their classes. Mm-hmm. Probably 20% of them actually earn enough credits to graduate. We can either offer the diploma through Ben Lapine, or we go back to their school and they offer that diploma. And they will actually graduate out of the class and move on. Some of them go to the military. I think around 12, 14% of them go to the military, which is fairly standard with most high schools in Oregon. And the rest of them either go back into the workforce, back to high school, or on to college. But the vast majority of them go back to the school they came from or in that area. Salem, for instance, has alternative schools, 5, 6 high schools to pick from. They may not go back to McNary. They may go to South or something of that nature. But they go back and they finish their degrees,
right,
their high school degrees.
The point is they get their diploma from the high school that they end up attending after your program.
The vast majority of them do, yes, sir.
Thank you. The reason I ask the question is because the language on page 2 of the amendment specifies that the people who are eligible are the people who graduate, who are, is a graduate of the Youth Conservation Corps or the Oregon National Guard Youth Challenge Program. Now, that term graduate bothers me a little bit because it might be construed to mean someone who actually gets a high school diploma from these places. It might be construed to mean they finish the program. It, depending upon what it means, only 20% of your people might be eligible, the people who actually finish the program, or perhaps all of them might be eligible. It looks to me as though there may be a drafting problem with the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, we call it graduation. They graduate from our program. That doesn't necessarily connotate that they have a Oregon certified high school diploma. I don't know how Youth Conservation Corps does their completion. But it is a completion of the program, not a high school graduation diploma.
Okay.
And the only way that they get that is if they've earned those credits that are commensurate with the requirements from the Department of Education.
And does the Oregon National Guard Youth Challenge Program offer a high school diploma to those students who do qualify under the rules of the Department of Education?
Yes, sir.
And it's called that.
Yes, sir. It's a high school diploma. We are a certified high school on our own right. We are an alternative school for Ben Lapine. Most, I would say 90%, 95% of the diplomas, high school, Oregon high school diplomas that are issued at Oregon Youth Challenge Program are either Ben Lapine or the previous high school where the student came from. A very small number, on occasion for whatever reason, we've issued them because we have that ability to do. We prefer not to. We prefer to have Ben Lapine issue it or the high school that they came from. But there have been occasions when it was the right thing to do, so we had the ability to do it. There's another certification that we have to maintain through the accreditation program, which we do.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for the general? Thank you, sir. We appreciate your testimony.
Well, thank you.
I think that the question for the committee, there are several options for us. One option is to send the bill over, or send the bill out to the floor as written. Of course, we don't have to do anything. And the third option would be to adopt this amendment. Let's have a conversation about that. What's your pleasure?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Berger.
I am not convinced that I'm in favor of this amendment, so it would be my preference to leave it.
Representative Brown.
I'm the same way on the amendment. I think it's a very laudable goal that's trying to achieve, but I get the impression that with testimony and from previous conversations outside of the committee, that the amendment is imperfect. It was rushed, and so I think we should pass the original bill and let them take care of it in the Senate.
Okay. Other thoughts?
I concur.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative Olson. One thing to note on the way the amendment's drafted is that there is a rather peculiar form in the amendment on the last several pages, but as Mazin has pointed out, what it does is actually amend two different versions of the same statute which are currently in the statute book. So while it may read in a somewhat unusual way, it does in fact do what it needs to do in order to establish this new account. Well, I think we all agree that Senator Westland can take care of himself in the Senate. And
I don't know if we all agree with that.
So I'm ready for a motion if someone has one on the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gelser.
I would move House Bill 3114 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Now, Representative Gelser moves House Bill 3114 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Conversation. Additional discussion.
Eventually.
Okay. If there's nothing additional, let's call the roll.
Representative.
Hi.
Representative Brown.
Aye.
Representative
Butler.
Aye.
Representative
Olson.
Aye.
Representative Reed. Reed is excused.
Representative
Rosenbaum. Aye. Representative Gibbs. Aye. And Chair votes aye. And Mazin has pointed out to me that this bill has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. And so we'll need an additional motion to we've referred to the floor, which is appropriate, and we need an additional motion to refer to Ways and Means. I think it will go there anyway, even if we don't do that, but I think as a matter of form we ought to.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 3114 to Ways and Means on its way to the floor.
Thank you.
With DPAS recommendation.
Representative Gelser moves that we adopt the Speaker's decision that the bill be moved to Ways and Means. Is there any objection to that motion?
No.
Without objection, it is so ordered, and the bill goes to the floor with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Thank you very much. Okay. That would be another place where the amendment could be considered if people want to consider it. Thank you. Next, we're going to go to work session on House Bill 2196. And you're on that one, too, aren't you, Mazin?
Yes, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2196. Mr. Chair has to deal with the Boxing Commission, the Wrestling Boxing Commission, that, just to refresh you of memory, the commission is funded through the boxing tax. Boxing tax is 6% of gross revenue on boxing events. And this bill started as to give the commission through the state police the ability to go into a variable type of fee up to 10%. And the discussion last time when you heard the proposals from the witnesses and so on, you, Mr. Chair, and others in the committee were inclined to look at changing the nature of this tax to reflect more what it does by being a fee, where it actually is funding the regulation functions that it actually charges. And by doing so, it becomes a different type of tax, or a different type of a fee and requirement, and that's what we asked Legislative Council about this issue. And the main thing that in the statute was an obstacle towards that goal was the ORS 463.370, And in that part of the ORS, the revised statutes, it mentions in it that the 25% of the tax, or after paying for the expenses of the commission, some of that tax will go and go to a sub-account where it pays for, at that time, children abuse prevention program. After I've checked with the BAM, Budget and Management, and other interested budgetary and numbers kind of process, we found that there has not been a payment to that account or to that entity, which is not a government entity. It's an outside government, but it's used to be transferred to them. But there has not been a transfer for that for the last five biennials.
Decade.
Decade, yes. And it seems that that process all by itself have found a different source of funding for it, and therefore no longer is dependent or expecting to receive any money from this tax, which confirmed that it is the right way to go by changing this into a fee rather than a tax. So the Dash 1 amendments in front of you in your packet, what it does is basically repeals the ORS 463.370, and that is the one that previously we've talked about, funding a different function. And by doing that, once that is accomplished, it is no longer in the category of being a tax, although the name might continue to be. And from the emblem of the bill, we Legislative Council removed the part of the bill that talks about this is a tax in need of three-fifths majority. So it stops being the tax that needs a three-fifths majority vote in the House. Therefore, that basically accomplished this intent that you talked about last meeting.
Thank you. So essentially what we're doing is repealing an obsolete statute and changing this from a tax to a fee.
That's correct.
Even though we're still calling it a tax.
The name would continue to be, but that was not necessarily a concern to Legislative Council, or unique, as they said, in the statutes.
Yes, where we mischaracterized the rules. And I can see that Representative Gelser is busy doing a tracing of the statute. Would you like us to stand at ease for a minute while you look?
I'm late in the roll. Mr. Chair, my only concern is we really do underfund our child abuse and neglect mm-hmm. funds, and so I would want to see exactly what it is that we're eliminating if we're doing that. So maybe yes, please, could we?
Sure, we can stand at ease, and if we're not ready to work the bill, we'll work it a different day. But we'll stand at ease for a couple minutes. Don't wander off. On a work session on House Bill 2196, Representative Berger.
I move the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 2196.
Representative Berger moves the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 2196. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted. Representative Berger.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2196 to the floor. Will it be passed? Unless there's a subsequent referral, Mazin?
No, there isn't. And I assume you mean as amended.
Yeah, as amended.
There's no indication of a subsequent referral.
Okay, I move House Bill 2196 as amended to the floor. Will it be passed?
Representative Berger moves House Bill 2196 to the floor, as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Call the roll.
Aye.
Representative Boone.
Excused.
Representative
Butler.
Excused.
Representative Butler. Aye.
Representative
Bolton. Yes.
Representative
Green. Aye.
Representative Aye.
aye.
Chair votes aye. And the bill has the necessary majority and will go to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
I would like to request the rules be suspended and Representative Reed be allowed to vote on House Bill 2314.
Let's close the work session on this bill and House Bill 2196. And we'll
I thought you already had it closed, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And the motion is to suspend the rules and allow Representative Reed to vote on House Bill 3114.
Yes, the one we just...
I'm sorry. I think it is...
The one we just voted? What was the number?
3114. Yeah. Representative Reed did vote on 2196.
Right. The one before that.
The one before that. All right. Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing on Representative Reed, how do you vote on House Bill 3114?
I vote aye.
Representative Reed votes aye on House Bill 3114. Thank you.
Thank you.
HJR 13, opening a work session on HJR 13. Are you on that one too, Madison?
No, Mr. Chair. Happy Friday the 13th.
Happy Friday the 13th. We are dealing with House Resolution 13. The Tricadec files are in control.
Along.
Okay.
Steve? Mr. Chair, members, House Resolution 13 is a revision to the Oregon Constitution and as such requires a two-thirds majority in both houses to pass. The revision to the Oregon Constitution, subject to voter approval, would allow the state to issue general obligation bonds up to 0.5% of the market value of real property in the state. It requires that the bond proceeds from any sales be used to match school district general obligation bonds approved by the school district voters for capital costs. The House Joint Resolution 13 would provide for repayment of state bonds from three possible sources: one, general fund appropriations; two, appropriations or allocations from other funds or any other monies available. It does specifically prohibit the use of property taxes for the repayment of the state bonds. The second part of the bill creates a school capital matching fund, and in doing that, it repeals the existing capital matching subaccount in the Education Stability Fund and then directs the 15% of lottery revenue that now goes into that subaccount to the new school capital matching fund. It requires that the new fund be used to provide matching funds to school districts for capital costs and to repay state bonds issued for the matching grants. It uses the fairly standard definition of capital costs as costs associated with the acquisition, construction, improvement, remodeling, maintenance, or repair of pre-K through grade 12 public school buildings. And lastly, it would submit this resolution to the voters at the May 2008 primary election. Mr. Chair, there is an amendment, a dash one, that you did not see earlier in the last hearing on this bill. I noticed that there wasn't any mechanism for transferring the balance of funds from the matching subaccount into the new account, and so the dash one amendment would accomplish that.
Okay, and does in the dash one amendment, does that actually repeal the subaccount?
No, the subaccount is repealed in the
earlier.
Yes.
Okay, that explains why I didn't see it there. And then this piece goes away itself after it's done its job.
Correct, in 2010.
Right, thank you. I think the Treasury is here and would like to be heard. Okay, all right. So I think that I'm going to interpret that as meaning you think the resolution is ready. Okay. What's your pleasure? Yes, Representative Berger.
Thank you to staff for catching the mistake. This is one of those things that sort of been on my radar for a while. I'm very supportive, Mr. Chair. You want a motion? You want a motion? I'll give you one.
Well, the committee should note that this is a revision of the Constitution because it contains more than one subject, and therefore it requires a two-thirds vote in the House and a two-thirds vote in the Senate before it can be sent out to the people. If anybody thinks this is likely to have a problem, we ought to talk about that, because it's possible to amend the thing so that it does get down to one, get down to an amendment to the Constitution. I haven't heard anybody complaining that this is likely to have a difficulty, because all it really does is give the legislature the authority to establish these kind of bonds and use them. Otherwise, of course, the Constitution requires that we not borrow more than $50,000.
Right.
I'm ready for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of the Dash 1 amendments to H.J.R. 13.
Representative Reed moves to the Dash 1s for H.J.R. 13. Discussion? Are there any objections? Without objection, the motion carries, and the Dash 1 amendment is added to the resolution. Representative Reed?
Mr. Chair, I would move the H.J.R. 13 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Reed moves House Senate Resolution 13 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Call the roll.
Representative Williams.
Aye.
Representative Bruin.
Aye.
Representative Butler.
Excused.
Representative Dawson.
Aye.
Representative Bolton.
Aye.
Representative Green.
Aye.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Representative Smith.
Aye.
And Chair
votes aye. I think this is a bill that Representative Hunt would like to carry, I believe, and so we'll assign it to Representative Berger.
May I suggest co-carrier with Representative Burley, who's also worked very hard?
Thank you. That's an excellent suggestion. Representative Hunt, Representative Burley will carry the bill unless they object, in which case we'll assign someone else. Anything else on this matter? If not, we'll close the work session on House Joint Resolution.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Representative Witt.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to request a suspension of the rules to allow Representative Bruin to vote on House Bill 2196, the Boxing and Wrestling Commission bill.
Thank you. Representative Witt moves for a suspension of the rules to allow Representative Bruin to vote on House Bill 2196. Is there objection? Without objection, Representative Bruin, how do you vote?
Aye, and thank you, Representative.
Appreciate Representative Bruin votes aye on House Bill 2196. Thank you very much. We'll open a work session on House Bill 2104. Are you on that one, too?
Yes, I am.
All right.
David, go ahead. Mr. Chair, Committee, House Bill 2104A deals with unclaimed property. The bill lowers the unclaimed financial property dormancy period from 5 years to 3 years before the property would be transferred into the unclaimed property account in the common school fund. This applies to financial institutions, insurance companies, and other holders of intangible property. The bill also changes the notification method from certified mail to first-class mail for financial institutions to give notice to owners of held assets before the financial institution can impose any service charge or stop interest payments or levying fees on the held property. And for property that's automatically renewable, like a CD, that would allow the owner's consent to renew to be indicated by the financial institution sending a statement by first-class mail or electronic mail without receiving a notice that the statement is undeliverable. So if they don't hear back, they can assume that the property is to be automatically renewed. This would have the effect of a speed up by 2 years for intangible property or for dormant property going into the common school fund, and would increase then the distribution to school districts out of the earnings of that fund.
Thank you. Representative Bruin.
Can I just ask a simple question of generally what kind of property we're talking about here when we're discussing dormant property? Can we define that a little closer? Staff? Yeah, staff question.
The dormancy period is an inactive period of inactivity. The holder either doesn't do any transactions on the account or doesn't have any contact with the financial institution, the holder of the property.
What sort of accounts are we talking about, Mr. Chair? What sort of accounts are we talking about?
I'd refer you to lines 6 through 9 on page 1, which I think is part of it. There may be another piece.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Yes.
In the overview that they gave us in the hearing earlier this week, they listed properties such as bank accounts, mutual funds, and securities are the types of properties that it would impact.
Right. And I think that's what's, yes, that's what's in 98.308. So we're talking about one particular kind of financial asset, or several particular kinds of financial assets.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Yeah. And this this bill was amended in the Committee on Business and Labor before it came to us, and I think the testimony was that it was ready to move.
Yes.
Representative Berger.
Mr. Chair, if I could speak to that. Yes, this has been through the Committee on Business and Labor. This not only was well supported by the financial institutions, or at least the banks that came in and talked about it, it also, I think, aligns us with other states and other jurisdictions who are trying to get to a more uniform system here on what happens in sort of the what-ifs of our very mobile society. I think it's a good bill.
Okay. What's your pleasure? I don't have a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2104A in gross to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Berger moves House Bill 2104A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Call the roll.
Representative Berger?
Aye.
Representative Green?
No.
Representative Butler?
Butler's excused.
Representative
Dalton.
Aye.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Green.
Aye.
Representative
Smith. A courtesy aye, and reserve the right to change my vote on the floor.
And chair votes aye.
Chair votes aye. The motion, having received the required majority, is passed, and the bill goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We need a carrier. Representative Berger, you were on the other committee.
I would be proud and honored because I need the work, gentlemen. I just don't have a thing. Yes, Mr. Chair, I will happily carry the bill.
Do you get paid extra?
And hope that questions of the carrier come in advance.
I think that's directed at Representative Webb and Representative Boone.
It's just about anybody.
And maybe the representative from Wilsonville.
But yeah. Yeah.
Perhaps. Perhaps that one as well. Thank you. Representative Berger will carry, however reluctantly, and I think we're finished with that one. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2104. And I've already indicated that we're not going to hear 2692 and 2369 today, and therefore I think we're finished, yes?
Yes.
That completes our business.
Okay.
The committee is adjourned.